For CJLO News, I'm Serena Abuljud. On Wednesday, journalist Ismail Al-Ghul and cameraman Rami Arrifi, who both worked for Al Jazeera, were killed in an Israeli airstrike on the Gaza Strip. 15 minutes before the strike, they were on a call with their news desks and were told to vacate the area immediately. Their car was hit as they were traveling to Al Ahli Arab Hospital. The reporters were in the Shati refugee camp, west of Gaza City, to report on Israel's assassination of Ismail Haniyeh. Haniyeh was the chairman of Hamas's political bureau. He was killed in an Israeli airstrike on Tehran this Wednesday. According to the Gaza government media office, Israel has killed 165 Palestinian journalists since October 7th. Tuesday evening, an Israeli airstrike hit a residential building in Beirut's southern suburbs, killing 5 people, including 1 woman and 2 children. Dozens were also injured. The strike comes 3 days after an attack on the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights, which Israel had accused Hezbollah, a Lebanese militant group and political party, of committing. Israel said that their attack was a target on Hezbollah commander Fuad Shukr. Hezbollah has since confirmed Shukr died in the strike. This marks Israel's second strike on Beirut's southern suburbs in 2024. On Wednesday, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres denounced Israel's airstrikes on Iran and Lebanon's capitals and called them a dangerous escalation. A new directive from the Legault government suggests that Quebecers may need an English language eligibility certificate to access healthcare services in English. The Education Ministry issues the certificates, which currently allows access to English education in Quebec since their introduction under Bill 96 2 years ago. The bill requires that all government workers use French systematically in written and oral communications. This includes staff in hospitals and nursing homes. Anglophones can also receive care in English if they can prove that they corresponded only in English with a healthcare provider before May 13, 2024. For more, follow CJLO News on Spotify.
I can see her lying back in her satin dress in her room where you do what you don't confess. Sundown, you better take care if I find you've been creeping round my back stairs. Sundown, you better take care if I find you've been creeping round my back stairs. Looking like a queen in a sailor's dream, and she don't always say what she really means. Sometimes I think it's a shame when I get feeling better when I'm feeling no pain. Sometimes I think it's a shame when I get feeling better when I'm feeling no pain.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live here on CJLO 1690 AM. I am your host, Tommy Lane, and this is the Tommy John Show, where everything in the world of sports is discussed here from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on CJLO 1690 AM. Thank you for joining us on an overcast Monday, August the 5th, our first show of August, and it's a thrill to be here. We have a lot to talk about. Over the next hour, we have the Olympics, the final week of them. They wrap up this weekend, not to mention NFL preseason officially underway, and big news in the world of basketball and hockey. We will get into that as well. So, hope everyone's doing well. Hope everyone's enjoying the summer weather. It was crazy hot the last 2 weeks, a bit cooler today, still humid, but I don't mind a little bit of an overcast. It's nice to change it up a little bit. So why don't we start off, like we always do, with a quick recap of the past week. And obviously, we're going to start off with the Olympic Games. And what a week. What a week it was. We had Simone Biles cleaning it up in the gymnastics category. She got, I don't know how many gold medals now. It's unbelievable. And then she had a silver today in the floor. Andrade from Brazil winning gold. But still, Simone not ruling out 2028 in LA. I mean, she is the most decorated gymnasts of all time. And she's from the U.S. She hasn't participated in Olympic Games in the United States, something she wants to do. 4 years from now, that would make her around 31 years old. So it looks like she can maybe give it one more go. She's obviously the greatest gymnast of all time. So if she wants to give it a go, I'm all for it. I love watching. I don't really know what happens in gymnastics. It's only every 4 years I hear about it. But yeah, great job for her. But let's get into the other sports that happened over the week. We had tennis wrapping up yesterday with the Olympics, and Novak Djokovic can finally say he is an Olympic gold medalist. He wins his first ever, I can't believe that, his first ever Olympic gold medal, defeating Carlos Alcaraz 7-6, 7-6, two tie breaks in a great match. He looked fantastic yesterday. A lot of people weren't expecting much from Djokovic just because Alcaraz looks like a buzzsaw, and they played at Wimbledon around a month ago, and Alcaraz demolished him in straight sets. Wasn't even that competitive. So people were expecting the same thing, and there were two tight sets, obviously both going to tie breaks. No breaks won. Everyone held serve. But in the tie breaks, Novak Djokovic separated himself and now has completed the Golden Slam. So he's literally won every major and has a gold medal, not to mention he's won every ATP 1000. Just the best resume of all time in tennis, for sure. Not even a question. Still, Carlos Alcaraz, unbelievable. At 21 years old, he has three majors. My bad. No one was saying three majors. He has four majors. Four majors and an Olympic silver medal at the age of 21. That's pretty impressive. So there's zero doubt in my mind he'll get a gold medal by the time he's done. He's 21 years old. Next Olympics will be 25. He gets two more Olympics in his 20s. Crazy. Health permitting, you think you would get a gold medal. Scottie Scheffler shot a 62. Yes, a 62 Sunday to win the Olympic gold medal. Tommy Fleetwood from the United Kingdom picking up silver. Hideki Matsuyama from Japan winning bronze. And Rory had a chance. He was one back at one point and then had a blunder on the 15th hole. And then that was his tournament over with. So too bad for him. I actually thought he had a chance to win the gold medal. When he birdied the par 5, 14th, he had a great iron off the tee to the 15, had a perfect number going in, and just a bit short with that shot with the water there. He was trying to be aggressive, and it cost him. But still, he said he liked the tournament, and he got a lot out of it. So we'll see what Rory has to do with the FedEx Cup playoffs right around the corner. Like I mentioned, the NFL, my God. It's finally here. Not the regular season, the preseason. And we have big news. Rams star Puka Nacua, he's week to week with a knee injury. That came out earlier today. It's considered not dangerous. It's not serious. And he should be ready for the opener against the Detroit Lions on September the 9th. And that should be a good one. The Tennessee Titans signing Quandre Diggs to a 1-year deal, $5 million, and they've really redone their secondary. They got Legarius Sneed in the offseason, went and got Jamal Adams, now they're getting Quandre Diggs. The Titans, I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but they're a much better team in the secondary. They lost Byard, remember, to Philadelphia during the season at the trade deadline. They needed to address it. They go get the best corner on the market. I know he technically wasn't on the market. They had to give up. It was his little sign and trade action to get Legarius Sneed. But they get Sneed. Now they get Quandre Diggs. They sign Jamal Adams. And they still have good players up front. Not to mention they have one of the deeper receiver cores in the league. They got Calvin Ridley this offseason. They have DeAndre Hopkins. They still have Treylon Burks. And all signs point to Will Levis looking okay in camp. And they got the offensive coach. I know Vrabel left. They got the offensive coach, Callahan, who was the offensive coordinator in Cincinnati. We'll see what happens. Jaden Daniels and Drake May are probably going to play Thursday. That's big news. Number 2 and number 3 overall picks will play this week. And Tyreek Hill agreeing on a new 3-year deal, $65 million guaranteed, $90 million total, so around $30 million. He signed a 4-year, $120 million extension and $72 million guaranteed when they acquired him from Miami. So this is just reworked, getting him more guaranteed money. And that's what they want at the end of the day. Good for Tyreek Hill. He's making a boatload of money. And he was voted number one player in the NFL. We'll get into that later on. Shocking that Mahomes wasn't the best quarterback. Even I'm not the big... People call me a Mahomes hater. I'm not a Mahomes hater. I think Mahomes is one of the five best quarterbacks I've ever seen. But him not being... I just don't think he's as good as Tom Brady, like people like to think. And I'm known as a hater. I don't agree with that. But him not being number one quarterback in the league's outrageous after winning back-to-back Super Bowls and back-to-back Super Bowl MVPs. And the other big one that we have is none other than the Arizona Cardinals. One of their star pass rushers, B.J. Ajulari, will miss the entire 24 season with a knee injury. Tore his ACL last week. And if you're a team like Arizona who's just looking for any positives, this really didn't come at a good time. He was supposed to have another big season for them. Yeah, torn ACL. You hate to see it. But that's part of football. We've seen, remember last year, Joe Burrow got hurt. Remember a few years ago, Julian Edelman tore his ACL in the preseason, and he missed out on that whole year. A year that the Patriots might have needed him in the Super Bowl against Philadelphia. But yeah, it's you just hate seeing it, especially in the preseason. You hate seeing it. You work all offseason, putting in the work, and you don't even get to the regular season. And I remember a few years ago, it was the Ravens who just got depleted. They had J.K. Dobbins, Marcus Peters. Everyone was falling before the season started. That might have been 2 years ago. Everyone getting hurt, and it just sucks. It's the worst. Formula One, it's officially the spring break, but still have rumors floating around about Sergio Perez and his rumors to be out of a job at Red Bull. No signs of that right now. Everyone thought Daniel Ricciardo would be getting a seat for the second half of the year after just poor performances, and nothing. It looks like he's going to stay, whether that's because of all the endorsement deals Red Bull gets, because, you know, he's a Mexican driver. A lot of the Mexican companies are paying Red Bull a lot of money for sponsorship. That's one of the reports. Whatever the reason, he just hasn't been good enough for Red Bull. And if this was any other situation, I feel like he'd be out of the job, out of a seat, even though he signed a 2-year extension earlier this year. He's just, with that car, you got to be competitive, and he hasn't been. Still hanging on to his job, though. Still hanging on. But ton of reports about Max Verstappen, whether he will stay at Red Bull long term. And we had Carlos Sainz signing with Williams for a 2-year deal. But I'm hearing that there's a clause in his contract that if Ferrari or is it a Red Bull or Mercedes want to sign him, I forget what it was. I saw it online that if they want to sign him, he can leave. So that's the report on the 2-year deal for Carlos Sainz joining Williams. So good for him. We're going to get into a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some NFL training camp storylines. We have big ones coming out of Pittsburgh, out of Los Angeles. We're going to get to it next on the Tommy John Show. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back after this quick break from our sponsors.
Dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Brew. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
Autobeat.
Yeah.
Best in electronic music.
Let me know when you push that record button, baby.
Thursday nights, yeah. 7 to 9 on CJLO, 1690 AM.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Now, you know you're the baddest motherfucker around here.
The scene. I can give you what you want, but you got to go home with me. I forgot some good old loving, and I got some in store. When I get through throwing it on you, you got to come back for
more. Boys and things will come by the dozen, but that ain't nothing but drugstore loving. Pretty little thing, let me light your count, cause mama, I'm sure hard to handle now, yes, around.
We're back here on the Tommy John Show. And I can't believe we're finally here. NFL preseason, we had the Hall of Fame game earlier last week, got rained out in the third quarter, but none of the big players played. I thought we would see a bit of Caleb Williams last week, but when I heard reports that they didn't like the surface of the field, they wanted to risk him getting injured, okay, fair enough. Can't argue with that. But he still needs to get some preseason reps, which he hasn't played a game in the NFL. Like, he's going to get some preseason reps. Like, let's not be ridiculous. What I do want to discuss is these reports coming out of Pittsburgh. And we know what the Steelers are. They're one of the great organizations in the NFL. As a Patriots fan, I can say that they've always seemed to be competitive. I mean, four Super Bowl. My mom had five Super Bowl titles. No more. What am I saying? Six Super Bowl titles. They won four a long time ago, two recently. And Mike Tomlin, Bill Cowher, Chuck Knoll, just always stability when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Even when the roster is not that good. Last few years in Pittsburgh, the roster's been poor. Poor. And they seem to win 9-10 games, make the playoffs. Now, if you continually win 9-10 games and you lose in the first round, I understand where it can be discouraging. They haven't won a Super Bowl in over 10 years. But Pittsburgh is, you know what you're going to get. They're going to be a great team. They're going to be a competitive team no matter what product they put on the field, because Mike Tomlin's one of the great coaches. We understand that. But this year is the first year in a while where at quarterback we have no idea what's going to happen. We don't. We had Ben Roethlisberger for 20-some-odd years. 18 years, whatever you want to say. Then you had Kenny Pickett in line. You signed Trubisky, and then we knew Trubisky will start. And then after a while, Kenny Pickett will take over, and the Steelers got their new franchise quarterback. That obviously did not go to plan. And guess what? With all of that going on, they still made the postseason. They made the postseason with Mason Rudolph playing. You know, like, let's not act like what's going on. We don't know what's going on with the Steelers. They are going to win 9 games. That is confirmed. Their floor is 9 games. Their ceiling's probably 11, maybe 10, but they're going to win 9 games. And we always knew what they're going to do at quarterback. It was Big Ben. Even the year Mason Rudolph came in, Big Ben was starting the year as the starting quarterback. He was the guy. Then, okay, Big Ben's retiring. We signed Mitch Trubisky, who looked okay as the backup in Buffalo, former number 2 overall pick. He's going to be the guy. But we're going to draft Kenny Pickett in the first round because he's going to learn. And then when he's ready to play, he will play. That was the formula. That was the game plan for the Steelers. That was it. Trubisky stinks up the joint. Kenny Pickett shown signs his rookie year. And then the next year, my God, he was terrible. And here we are. Trading Pickett away to Philadelphia to be the backup for Hurts. Not even touching Mitch Trubisky. We need new quarterbacks. So what were the options on the table? What were the options? You draft one. That's always one. You sign one, or you can trade for one. Kirk Cousins was on the market. There was a whole bunch of quarterbacks. But they decided to do something different, completely different. And that was, let's sign a former Super Bowl champion, possible Hall of Fame quarterback, and Russell Wilson, who, let's be honest, has been maybe the worst quarterback in the league the last 2 years. That was one signing. League minimum. So no risk whatsoever. He's literally getting paid the veteran minimum, like $1 million, because he doesn't care about money. The Broncos are still paying him $40 million a year. Then what else did they do? Because odds are Russell Wilson's going to stink up the joint, right? We like to... Sure, maybe he finds his old form, but I doubt it at his age and the way he's played the last 3 years. What do we do? You go get the exciting young player in Justin Fields, who, yes, has underachieved in Chicago, but Chicago had nothing around him, and you saw flashes of brilliance. And I don't blame Chicago for giving up on him. Last year was supposed to be a better year. They still won 7 games. But when you have the number one overall pick and you have to pay Justin Fields in the next 2 years, you know, maybe you take the generational talent in Caleb Williams and restart the clock on that rookie deal. He's still getting paid a boatload of money. I'm not saying that, Caleb Williams, but for quarterback standards, he's one of the cheapest in the league for what he will probably be. He's going to get, what, $10 million cap hit? He's a rookie. These rookie deals are where teams like to feast. The Bears said, we have a decent team on defense. We'll go get some more pieces while Caleb Williams is on a cheap deal, and we'll make a run. They locked up DJ Moore now. They went and got Keenan Allen. Draft Roma Dunze. They signed DeAndre Swift. They signed Montez Sweat. They invest in the defense. Away we go. Okay. The Bears made that decision, but you couldn't have Caleb Williams there and Justin Fields there at the same time. That couldn't have worked. Okay, they realized it. Pittsburgh says, we're interested. Here we are. We have Fields and Russell Wilson. And if you ask 90% of the GMs in the NFL, hey, who would you rather have, Justin Fields or Russell Wilson? They would probably say Justin Fields. I know they would say Justin Fields right now. And I think they'd be right. But all reports coming out of camp was Russ is going to start. And Fields will play when we see him, when we feel he's ready to play. All reports since then have said otherwise. Russell Wilson, apparently, I don't know what's going on, why everyone's hating Russell Wilson in camp now. I'm not saying he's been off the last 3 years, but going into camp, everyone loved Russell Wilson. They said Russell Wilson's going to start. Like, even if he's played bad, it's Russ's team. Now, reports, Justin Fields, listen to this, take starting reps for Steelers. Now, we don't know why Russ is not playing. It's maybe a lingering injury. I don't know. But all reports is that Justin Fields is playing great in training camp with the ones, and he's in line to start. Now, for me, I'm a Justin Fields guy over a Russell Wilson guy every day of the week. But Russell Wilson is apparently not happy about it. He thinks he should be the one. He's showing up to country music shows, doing shotguns with Luke Combs, wearing a Steelers jersey like he's this big prize for the Steelers. Russ, no. Stop it. You're not entitled. The way you've played the last 3 years, especially the last two in Denver, you're not entitled to anything anymore. I'm sorry. You're not. Think about 2 years ago. 2 years ago, the Denver Broncos gave up, what, two number ones, three number ones? I think it was two firsts, two seconds, whatever. They gave up everything. Noah Fant, who's a very good tight end, they gave up everything for Russell Wilson. And then before Russell Wilson even takes a snap for the Denver Broncos, extension, 5 years, was $249 million, over $100 million guaranteed. Before he takes a snap for the Broncos. And we all know the story. He was maybe the worst quarterback ever. Maybe that's a bit harsh, but he was that bad. On a team that wasn't that bad, there's a reason why Denver went all in on Russell Wilson. It's because they thought they had the team to compete. They had a good defense. You had Simmons and Pat Surtain and Nick Chubb. You had everyone on defense ready to roll. You had Sutton. You had Jerry Jeudy. You had Williams, the running back, a decent offensive line. All they were missing was a quarterback. That's what they were missing. They feel like we can compete. We can get back to the playoffs. The Broncos haven't been to the playoffs since they won Super Bowl 50 with Peyton Manning. Know when that was? I was in grade 8, 9? I think it was grade 9. That's how long ago it's been. So that's what, 2015? We're nearing 10 years. It's the last time the Broncos have been in the postseason. And the Broncos are known, at least when I was growing up, as a good organization. They went from John Elway. Sure, they had the Jay Cutler years and the Kyle Orton years. I understand that. But then they got Peyton Manning and they had Von Miller and they were always, they went to a Super Bowl, lost, went to a bunch of AFC Championship games, went to a Super Bowl, beat Cam Newton. That's who the Broncos were. And since they won that Super Bowl, it was just a total disaster. Top to bottom. Not even, like, I don't even know what happened. Remember, they went into the next year. They didn't sign Brock Osweiler. They let him go. Good thing. Houston overpaid on that one. Peyton Manning retired, and they turned to freaking Trevor Siemian. The year after they win the Super Bowl, you have Trevor Siemian. Are you kidding me? Fine. You start Trevor Siemian, and that was literally, how many quarterbacks have they gone through? They went through Teddy Bridgewater, Paxton Lynch, you go through a Case Keenum. Everyone went through Denver. And then they were tired of it. They see Russ, and they thought Russ was the same guy from 2 years, 3 years earlier, when he clearly saw a drop-off in Seattle, and they said, no, we got to go get him. And at the time, I respected it. I said, you know what? They're going all in. I would have went in all in for Aaron Rodgers, but when Aaron Rodgers said, you know what? I'm staying in Green Bay at least for one more year, then they pivoted to get Russell Wilson. And people blamed the first year on Nathaniel Hackett. Are you kidding me? Fair enough. You blame it on Nathaniel Hackett. Russ, you get Sean Payton, one of the great offensive coaches of all time, to coach you, and he still stunk up the joint. He was still awful. Tommy, his numbers got better. He was dinking and dunking. I didn't see him throw the ball farther than 6 yards down the field. I'm sorry. He was not the same player, and Denver can say it all they want, that they knew what they were doing. They didn't. And ownership, the new ownership group said, this is an embarrassment. You're all gone. And people rightfully lost their jobs for that. And now this is the same Russell Wilson who's been out of shape at Steelers practice, moping around. Why don't you play better? I don't understand this. They gave you a fortune. God bless his agent. He got $249 million. Dollars and over $100 million guaranteed before he took a snap with the Broncos. Before he took a snap. And in the first game, remember they played Seattle on Monday night? Joe Buck and Troy Aikman's first game doing Monday Night Football? And what was it, fourth and whatever, five? And instead of trying to get a first down, Russell Wilson, Nathaniel Hackett's like, I'm putting out the kicking team to try over 63-yard field goal. And people said, oh, Hackett's nuts. Maybe he was onto something. And he was onto something because he saw Russ in practice and was like, damn, this guy is not who he used to be. And it's been obvious since. That was the starting point. Then we can talk about that awful Thursday night game when Matt Ryan was a shell of himself for Indianapolis and they still won the game. Because Russ single-handedly lost it for them and people are walking out before overtime because they can't watch his football anymore. Is this the same guy who let the Rams with Baker Mayfield drop 50 on Christmas? And he threw three, four interceptions? How many pick sixes? This is the same Russell Wilson. The reason I went through all this, this is the same Russell Wilson who feels like he's entitled to start for the Steelers. Are you kidding me? What? Entitled? That Super Bowl was a long time ago, and, you know, I love Russell Wilson as he's a good guy, apparently. Okay, fair enough. But to act like he was the driving force of that Super Bowl team, you're nuts. They had one of the 3 to 4 best defenses of all time on that team. And whether you like it or not, he got bailed out the next year in that NFC Championship game by that defense and the onside kick and Aaron Rodgers being on one leg. He threw 4 picks that game. Then, what does he do? Oh, in the Super Bowl? Throws a pick to end the game on the 1 yard line. Now you can blame play calling, say it was a good throw and Malcolm Butler made a great play. Okay, fine. But he's had good years since and he's a board. He made a bunch of Pro Bowls. I'm not saying he didn't have a good career. He had a great career, made a boatload of money. did have some awful commercials, so that Subway commercial was terrible. But come on. He's not entitled to anything. And when I heard that the Steelers said, you know what, and they're a smart organization. The reason I mention all those old coaches is that they're not dumb. The one thing you can say about the Steelers, they're well run. They don't make many mistakes. They brought in both just to see. I don't mind them bringing in Russ on the $1 million contract. But Mike Tomlin's a smart guy. And Mike Tomlin saying, hell, Russ can, lingering injury for Russ or whatever. Okay, fine. Fields go put it the once. Field looks good. He's like, I'm starting Fields. Why am I going to start this old, washed up quarterback who's going to complain? He's making, the Steelers are paying you nothing. Literally nothing. Just to see if you have an ounce, a drop of who you were left. And he's acting entitled, and he's acting like, oh, what's going on? I should get reps when I come back with the ones. Russ, you're lucky to have a job. We're being honest. Who would want, in their right mind, who would trade their quarterback right now for Russell Wilson based on the last few years? I'll give you a hint. Probably like one or two. I would think maybe zero. Buffalo ain't doing it. Miami ain't doing it. New York ain't doing it. New England have May and Brissett. They're not doing it. Cincinnati ain't doing it. Baltimore ain't doing it. Cleveland ain't doing it. Tennessee, Indy, Jacksonville, Houston, Kansas City, you name it. No one, hell, even, you name it, Tampa Bay ain't giving a Baker. Carolina ain't doing with Bryce Young. Name, Russ, a place you can go and demand these things. It's nowhere. And your only chance was maybe because Mike Tomlin liked you, Pittsburgh. And you're and when they try something different with Justin Fields taking the first team reps, you get bent out of shape and act like you're a star quarterback. There's literally not one organization in the NFL that would give you their starting job right now. You would have to earn it. You're not entitled to anything anymore. I'll go through it. Philly, no. Dallas, no. Washington have Jaden Daniels now. No. New York, Daniel Jones. They'll probably start Daniel Jones over you. Green Bay, no. Detroit, no. Chicago, no. Minnesota, no. I'm sorry. Carolina, no. New Orleans, no. Derek Carr's, I bet every GM, 95% of GMs in the league would take Derek Carr over Russell Wilson next year, and that's a fact. Atlanta, they just gave Kirk Cousins $100 million, no. Or Michael Penix is better than you. Stafford, no. Kyler Murray, no. Even Brock Purdy, no. Even your own team of Seattle wouldn't take you back. You were there on a silver platter. They have a chance to do the greatest heist of all time. Get two ones, two twos, a fifth, a seventh, and what, a starting tight end, and then still get you back later on. They said, no, we'll take Geno Smith and Sam Howell over you. You tell me Russ Wynn went back to Seattle with bells on, be like, hey guys, I'm back. No, even they're like, we don't want anything to do with you, Russ. We'll retire your jersey 5 to 10 years from now when you're retired. We'll put you in the Seahawks Hall of Fame, but we do not, with a new coach, want you anywhere near our organization. Anywhere near. Anywhere. And the year after Russ left Seattle, when Seattle were bottoming out, they traded away Russ. Geno Smith was their option. People laughed. Geno Smith's a backup quarterback. Geno Smith led that team to the playoffs, and he got a $100 million contract for 3 years after that. That's what happened. Seattle made the playoffs with Geno Smith, and he made a Pro Bowl the year they traded Russ away. How crazy is that? The team that won 5 games with Russell Wilson. He is nowhere near the same player, and to act like he is owed something and act like he should start, it's a crime. Even when I heard, oh, Russ, when he first signed, Russ is going to start and they're going to let Fields learn and then take it from there. I'm like, the hell with that. Just even if Fields just runs Wildcat the whole year, it's going to be better than Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is, the last 2 years of Russell Wilson's one of the worst. Maybe Nathan Peterman for a game with Buffalo, he threw 5 picks, but For a quarterback playing a full season, that year with Nathaniel Hackett in Denver was the worst quarterback year I've ever seen. Like, not even close. Not even close. Oh, he would throw for like 100-something yards, a touchdown, 3 picks. They'd score 7 points. They get blown out by Carolina, blown out by the Rams, lose one of the worst football games of all time to Indianapolis. And this is the guy who acts like he's owed something after two of the worst years of football I've ever seen. Russ, you got $100 million guaranteed. Denver's paying you like $40-something million bucks not to be on their roster right now. And you're acting like you're owed something. It is unfreaking believable. And let's be honest, Justin Fields better than you right now. He's playing with the ones and he's looking great. And Justin Fields, people said he can't throw in the NFL. In college, he was known as a passer. He won the Elite 11 in high school or whatever, won the MVP of that, committed to Georgia. Jake Fromm came back for fifth year. Okay, I'm going to go to Ohio State. Goes to Ohio State. They go to the national semifinal, lose a classic to Clemson, played great. Then he threw the next year, they played Clemson again. He threw how many touchdowns? 6. And I know he had Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave. He had a great receiving core. I understand that. They go to the national championship with Ohio State in the COVID year. He was known as a thrower. And he goes to Chicago, which is a terrible organization for quarterback play, if we're being honest. I mean, I don't know how many 4,000-yard passers. Probably none. Jay Cutler, I don't think, ever threw for 4,000. Did Jim McMahon throw for 4,000 one year? I don't know, but the Bears have just never had a good quarterback. They had a chance to take Mahomes. They take Mitch Trubisky. You know, that's who the Bears are. He goes there, and he played a bit better down the stretch, but to act like this guy doesn't have the talent to be a starting quarterback in the NFL is crazy. And act like he is not better than Russell Wilson in the year 2024 is just, I can't even wrap my head around it. And I have a bunch of Steelers fans, and when they signed Russ, like, we don't mind Russ for $1 million bucks, but he better not, like, we better have another solution. They go get Fields. They gave up nothing for him. Might as well. But what if he plays well? Then they got to give him all this money. If Justin Fields plays well, they're a lock to make the playoffs, and you will happily give him his money. If the Steelers find out that Justin Fields is their guy for the next 5 to 7 years, then they're absolutely going to pay him. Happily, they're dying to pay a quarterback that's good. They're dying. And if it doesn't work out next year, well, there's some quarterback, maybe Dak's on the market. I know Dak's not, he's a borderline top 10 quarterback, but if Fields is really poor and Russ is just going to Russ if he comes in and plays, then they'll happily, if Dallas doesn't want to pay Prescott, okay, no problem. Prescott, what do you want? They'll pay him. They're desperate. But at least they don't have to give up capital to get him. They would have to, it wasn't like Denver getting Russ and having to give up. But no, they would just have to, okay, we'll give you the 4-year deal at around like 50-something million. We're desperate. But if Justin Fields plays to an above-average NFL level, or even the level he's been playing with in Chicago the last few years, he has better weapons here. He's got George Pickens. He's got two good running backs in Warren and Najee Harris. The O-line's getting better. And their defense is going to win them a lot of games with Minka Fitzpatrick and TJ Watt, and not to name the others as well. They'll be fine. And Mike Tomlin's a player's coach. He's not going to get on Justin. And I'm excited to see the preseason, because if Justin Fields plays well, it's over for Russ. I'm sorry. Even if Fields stinks up the joint, there's no way he's going to be worse than Russ. A 35-year-old Russell Wilson, who hasn't been the same since he's been 30, 31. I'm sorry. And him being upset, treat me like that. Give me $40 million not to play. Are you kidding me? Entitled. It's like my job. That's rapport. Are you kidding? Russ, stop it. Are you serious? You're better than that. Oh, my God. I've never seen... Like, why? Why? Come on, man. He's not the same player. He's not, I mean, he's injured now. I don't know what the hell he was injured. He didn't even play the last few games for Denver. Remember, they had Jared Stidham come in and play. And Stidham looked better than him. Not great. He's not a good quarterback, Jared Stidham, but he looked a hell of a lot better than Russell Wilson. Maybe he starts with the Raiders. I think Gardner Minshew right now is better than Russell Wilson. Right now, from 1 year? Crazy. And he'll probably, and even if he's cut by the fucking, sorry for swearing, even if he's cut by the Steelers, who's going to sign him? Like seriously, who's going to sign him? The Raiders? Carolina? They have Bryce Young. Why would Carolina want Bryce Young anywhere near Russell Wilson? Like, literally, who's going to give him a job? And he's acting all entitled. These are just reports. Obviously, he comes out and says, "Oh, I mean, Justin, I'm here, and I'm here. I'm excited to battle it out with Justin. I think he's a great guy." Of course, he has to say those things. But deep down inside, he feels like, "How the hell am I in a competition with Justin Fields?" Well, it's because you've been awful for the last 3 years and had two of the worst quarterback seasons I've ever seen. After a team gave up their entire farm system and their future to get you. And you act entitled. That is crazy. Absolutely crazy. And the Steelers are a team that they are so well run. That if there's any problems with Russ, it's veteran minimum. They'll cut him. I don't see any team giving up capital for him. If a team trades for Russell Wilson, if he loses the Steelers' starting job, then that GM needs to be evaluated. Who would give up draft capital to get Russ? No one would touch him 3 months ago when he was on the open market, except the Steelers, because they didn't have anything there. This is before they traded for Fields. If Fields wins the starting job and is by far the best quarterback, they need to cut Russ and you bring in Brian Hoyer or something like that. You don't want a player like Russ as the backup. Too big of a name. It'll be in the media. Like, you don't want that. I think if Fields straight up wins the starting job, they'll let Russ go somewhere else. If someone will touch him. And I think his best chance is the Raiders, maybe. I used to think maybe New England, but now they drafted May, they drafted Milton, Brissett. They're not going to touch him. Like, it's probably the Raiders, if I were to bet, a team that would take a flyer on Russ. It's got to be the Raiders. It's the only one I can think of. And if the Raiders don't even touch him, then it's over for Russ. But to act like this should be a conversation for the Steelers, no. It is Justin Fields all day. If he's playing like they say he's playing in camp, that's what all the signs are. He's playing with the ones, and he is playing fantastic football. This is just reports. I don't watch the Steelers training camps. This is all what the beat writers are saying on site. That Justin Fields is looking good. Justin Fields is playing with the ones, and he's comfortable. He looks athletic. He looks good. He should start. He's getting much better. That's what even Adam Schefter went on Pat McAfee. And they said the Steelers love Fields. So after these three preseason games, barring health, if he stays healthy and wins the starting job, you might have to get Russ out of there. Even if Fields gets hurt down the line, Russ is just not who he used to be. You can go get a backup quarterback. Seriously. That's 10 times better or more athletic right now than this version of Russell Wilson. And that is a fact. And if I'm the Steelers right now, I see two preseason games of Fields, see how he plays, and then I say, Russ, you know what? You can keep your million four for that veteran minimum, and you can leave. Because there's no need in you being around here. That's a bit harsh. I would just say, hey, Russ, appreciate you coming in. We're good. We got Justin Fields, who won 7 games last year. Well, I'd tell you, Russ didn't do that in Denver. Much better team on paper than the Bears. Fields won 7 games. Freaking Russell Wilson, like, what were they, 4-13 his first year? 5-12, something like that? And they couldn't even get that. That trade is awful. It made Seattle get crossed, the left tackle. Made them get, they juiced up their roster. Wasn't Devin Witherspoon because of that trade, too? Like, oh, my God. That's just crazy. They gave them 2 cornerstone players. I think Witherspoon was like the 5th pick in the draft, and that was Denver's pick last year. But it was because of the rush trade. Seattle had it. And then I think Evan Cross from Mississippi State, he's becoming one of the better tackles in the league. I think he was from that trade. Could be wrong. But they juiced up that Seattle roster. A roster that immediately after trading Russell Wilson away, won 9-10 games, made the playoffs, and the next year had a winning record as well. And won games with Drew Locke, too. We're going to get into a quick break. I'm sorry about that Steelers rant. I'm sorry. That ticked me off. Russell Wilson acts like he's entitled to something, and he should have the inside track to be the starter. That ticked me off. And even if he does start the year, he comes back from injury, and ultimately Mike Tomlin decides to play Russ, it will not take long for people to realize this guy is just washed and Fields will play. It won't take long. I'm sorry. I would bet a substantial amount of money. And even if I'm wrong, then this is the craziest turnaround of all time. It will be. If Russ turns into old Russ, then I will happily admit I was wrong. But to act like, if we were to poll people, 95% of them, maybe even higher, 99% of them would say that old Russ is gone. He's not the same. Anyway, we're going to do a quick ad, and when we come back, we'll discuss who I like as a sleeper team to possibly get out of the NFC. I'm Tommy Lane for Tommy John Show, back after this quick word from our sponsors.
A Public, we offer a theatrical program made up of local films and international new releases, classics and little-known nuggets, as well as short films and family screenings. Our tickets are among the cheapest in Montreal, $10 for a regular entry or $8 for students, children, and seniors. We also offer 6 ticket movie cars for even more savings. Come see us at Casa d'Italia, just across from John Tolon Metro, and visit cinemapublic.ca to discover our programming. Le Cinéma Public for a lively cinema.
This just in.
REVC is no longer on Thursdays. It's Mondays at noon.
Mondays at noon.
Music so good, you'll exterminate.
Here on the Tommy John Show. So, what we have to address now is some sleeper picks. And I know last week we did the AFC. We're going to do the NFC next week on teams that I like to get out of their division. But this is one team that I'm really starting to enjoy watching. And 2 years ago, I know they were, or 3 years ago, I know they were incredible. They've always been good because of this coach. And I wasn't a huge fan, but now I'm starting to become a bit of like an admirer of this team. And that is the Los Angeles Rams. So they won the Super Bowl a few years ago. We understand that. Sean McVay, one of the best coaches in the league. We understand that. And then they had one of the worst defending Super Bowl champion seasons ever, but that's just because they were depleted with injuries. I mean, Cooper Kupp got hurt, then Matt Stafford got hurt, and they were having Baker Mayfield play for a little bit. Like, that was happening when the Rams were the defending Super Bowl champions. Like, that was happening. But since then, that down year, they remember they had the F them picks thing. The GM had the shirt with literally that said F, spelt out F them picks. Recently, they've been drafting pretty well. I mean, just look, they have their star running back now, Kyren Williams from Notre Dame. They took him later on in the draft. He had over 1,000 yards this year. They drafted Puka Nacua out of BYU in the 5th round. Any other year, if CJ Stroud just a little bit less of what he was, he would have won Rookie of the Year. Had over 100 catches, over 1,400 yards receiving as a rookie. And you just go through the line. They've bolstered the offensive line. I mean, yes, they did lose Aaron Donald to retirement this offseason, but they said, what's our main problem? We lost some depth in the secondary. Let's go get Tre'Davious White, free agent, out of Buffalo. Let's go get him. Now, Tre'Davious White, I know he's been dealing with a bunch of injuries recently, and he's nearing 30. But he's still a very, very, very good player. You know, in 2019, he was first-team All-Pro. And he made 2 Pro Bowls. Like, he's still 29. And Tre'Davious White is better than what they had last year at corner. I mean, their flaw last year when they made a run to the playoffs. And in the second half of the year, the Rams were one of the hottest teams in the league. Let's not act like they weren't. Remember they played Baltimore in that classic on the road. In the rain. They should have won that game. They lose in overtime to a Baltimore team that ended up winning, 14 games? And then look who they beat down the stretch. They beat a bunch of good teams. And they got into the playoffs, and they almost took down Detroit on the road. And Matt Stafford, you talk about a baller, he balled out at the end of last year. He really did. If you give me Sean McVay and Matt Stafford with good weapons and a good run game, you're going to go far. And I think they will. Health permitted, because the one knock on Matt Stafford, he's incredible when he plays, but when he doesn't, teams go down the drain, and teams of his usually go down the drain because he doesn't always stay healthy. That's the knock. The year after the Super Bowl, he gets injured. Not the same team. You look at the years in Detroit, he was injured a lot. A lot. Now, that was because the teams weren't that good, and he became a punching bag in Detroit for a lot of those years. And I mean, he had no O-line protection. And he had, Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, maybe Reggie Bush, just to name some weapons. Like, that was about it. I know I'm saying that's about it. He had arguably the greatest receiving talent ever. But that, he was getting killed. He threw for 5,000 yards 1 year. So everyone knew people knew Matt Stafford could play. And people saw the arm talent out of Georgia. Reason why he went number one overall. But once he got to the Rams, won a Super Bowl in his first year, happy Matt Stafford is getting the praise. And if he continues to play well, if Matt Stafford continues to play a Pro Bowl level football, he could maybe get into the Hall of Fame. And I think that's what's on his mind. Because he's a Super Bowl champion. He has a 5,000-yard season in there. He has, 4 or 5 Pro Bowls. If he can give 3 more, I mean, he's in his early to mid-30s. If he can give 3 more years of Pro Bowl-level football, then Matt Stafford could easily make the Hall of Fame. He's 36. I mean, he's a comeback player of the year, Super Bowl champion. If he's at 2 Pro Bowls now, I thought he had more than that. If he gets the 5 Pro Bowls, plays till he's 39, There, he's got Puka Nacua. He's got Cooper Kupp 100% healthy now. That's what they're saying. Kupp is 100% healthy. He's got a running game. And they drafted, I think, Blake Corum in the draft will take some of the load off Kyron Williams. They're going to be a very good offense. And the defense, I know they lost Aaron Donald, who's arguably the greatest defensive tackle of all time. We understand that. But they addressed needs in the offseason on defense. And I know they have San Francisco twice, and I know they have to go to Seattle, which is a tough environment to play, but their schedule is not overly difficult. When I looked at it, I'm like, oh, it's not terrible. I mean, they have Dallas, the Chargers, Houston, Detroit, Arizona, San Fran. I mean, you have what? Houston might be tough. Like, it's not that bad. Like, the opening schedule is not that bad. They have New England on there. They'll probably beat them. You have Miami on there. You'll probably beat them. Minnesota. We'll see if Sam Darnold's what they're saying it is, or who he is in practice. I don't know. The two toughest games are, you know, San Francisco. And you look, Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan know each other pretty well. They usually go even up. They'll probably split. But it's not, they have some tough games on there, but they have New Orleans who they can beat, Minnesota, Las Vegas, Chicago, Arizona, Seattle they can easily beat. We don't know what the Jets are. Obviously, they have San Francisco twice, which is going to be tough. But Dallas, people tell me Dallas is not who they're supposed to be. Like, come on. Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading my bad. Detroit, Arizona, San Francisco, Chicago, Green Bay, Las Vegas, Minnesota, Seattle, Miami, New England, Philly, New Orleans, Buffalo, San Francisco, Jets, Arizona, Seattle. That's not too bad. I looked at one of their preseason games for Houston. My bad. So, no, you don't even have to play Dallas or Houston. All you got Detroit will be tough. Arizona, you should beat handily. San Fran, you know well. Chicago, you should beat. Green Bay, who knows? Las Vegas, you should beat. Minnesota, you should beat. Seattle, you should beat. Miami, who knows? New England, you should hammer. Philly, who knows? New Orleans, you should beat. Buffalo, we don't know. San Fran, even up. You should beat the Jets. Arizona, you should beat. Seattle, you should beat. That's 10 wins right there. And the NFC is not that good, if we're being honest. Who's there? You have San Francisco, Detroit, Green Bay, Philly. Dallas is not as good as they were. The Giants stink. Washington stink. Minnesota, we shall see, but they won't be better than Detroit or Green Bay. Chicago's a big mystery. The NFC South is awful. We'll see about Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. They have an easy schedule. They should make the playoffs. Will Baker repeat it in Tampa Bay? I don't know. And New Orleans and Carolina are both going to struggle. Then it leaves the Rams. And if you look in the NFC, you have an argument that Matt Stafford's the best quarterback in the NFC. You can make that argument easily. And if you look at coaches in the NFC, along with Kyle Shanahan, you can make the argument that Sean McVay is the best coach in the NFC. And you look at two-headed monsters in the NFL, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp, 3 years ago, was the Offensive Player of the Year. Triple Crown. Super Bowl MVP. One of the probably the greatest receiver season ever. He played much better down the stretch last year, and he's 100% healthy. If you have the two-headed monster at receiver with Nacua and Kupp, and you have Kyron Williams, who's a top-five running back, and then you add Blake Corum into the mix, an upgraded offensive line with Matt Stafford playing at a Pro Bowl level, and Sean McVay, health permitted, why can't the Rams make a run in the NFC with a better defense? Why not? They almost did it last year. I want to thank you guys for listening to this week of the Tommy John Show. I had a great time. We're back next Monday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on CGLO. We'll recap the last week of the Olympics, as well as give my thoughts on the initial NFL first week of preseason. We have Drake May playing, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams. We'll discuss that all next week on the Tommy John Show. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next Monday, August the 12th. And we will see you guys then. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.